Wednesday, June the 23rd, and the Zone Daily Podcast is back. Tennessee baseball begins its offseason and begins a dramatic couple of weeks as Tony Vitello's future hangs in the balance. We'll discuss that and how they got knocked out yesterday against Texas in a wild one. Plus, who does Vanderbilt still have left in the bullpen? Well, the good news is they've got a lot of options. The bad news is there aren't a lot of great ones as they head into an elimination game this afternoon against Stanford. 2 days of vacation, and we're ready to go once again. The Wednesday edition of the Zone Daily Podcast starts right now.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
A phenomenal season for Tennessee ends in a heartbreaker on Tuesday afternoon. Yes, there was a bad call, but Tennessee didn't deserve to advance to what would have been a second elimination game against the University of Virginia. They fall to Texas 8-4 yesterday. Blade Tidwell started and struggled with his command throughout the beginning of this one, giving up 3 earned runs on 2 hits, and he walked 2 over 3 innings of work. But I don't think the moment was too big for Tennessee's players as much as it was just a moment that was unfamiliar and perhaps a little bit too big for Tony Vitello. Tennessee went to Sean Hundley in relief in the 4th inning, and that's when the sky started falling for Tennessee. The Vols had just tied things up at 4. So Texas, they would go on to score 3 runs in the 4th to take a commanding 7-4 lead, and they wouldn't look back. For Tennessee, only 2 runners reached over the final 5 innings of this one, and during those final 5 frames, Tennessee went down in order 3 times. Now, the deflating moment of this game happened in the 4th inning. Sean Hundley, when he came in to relieve Tidwell, really did a good job. Texas got the 3 runs, but really, you could have lived with how Hundley started this inning. The biggest blow came with 2 strikes and 2 outs. Texas catcher Silas Arjun hits a 2-run single to make it 6-4, but there was a play at the plate that was clearly a play where Connor Pavloni applies the tag. Tennessee should have been out of the inning at 5-4, feeling pretty good about themselves. Instead, Texas led 7-4. At the end of the 4th inning, because let's face it, it was an incorrect call. Now, through this shuffle, Tennessee also had volunteer assistant Ross Kivett, who was thrown out of the ball game in what just became an emotional and debilitating 4th inning for this Tennessee team that, let's face it, they never really bounced back from. They never scored again after the top half of the 4th inning, and they really let the moment get the best of them. Now, when I say the moment, I don't mean the moment of playing in Omaha. I mean the moment of bouncing back from, let's face it, an abysmal call in the 4th inning. Championship-level teams are able to overcome situations like this. They're able to move past what happened in the 4th inning of this game and still find a way to win and piece together a game in order to move on to the next one. But you've got to have a feel for the game in these circumstances, and I didn't feel like Tennessee's players or its head coach had a feel for this ballgame. Tony Vitello, in my opinion, took Blade Tidwell out of the game too soon, going to Sean Hundley in the 4th inning, who also struggled a little bit against the University of Virginia on Sunday afternoon in Game 1. And then Redmond Walsh, a guy we hadn't seen really a lot of over the past couple of games, he comes in and is almost lights out for Tennessee in relief, coming in after Sean Hundley really kind of unraveled a little bit in that 4th inning. So I really thought for Tennessee that, you know, that they had the pitching depth to be able to get to the next round and kind of piece things together a little bit, but their starting pitching let them down in Game 2. Blade Tidwell has got to be better than what he was, and he's going to learn from an experience like this as a guy who next year as a sophomore projects as a first-round pick. Now we begin what is going to be a crazy offseason for the University of Tennessee, because it's going to be Danny White's first big test. Can he keep the head coach of his most elite, somewhat close to revenue-generating program on campus? That's going to be the topic of discussion for the next coming weeks. So where does Tony Vitello go next? He answered that question directly to an extent after Tennessee's loss to Texas yesterday, saying, no, I have not had any discussions with LSU. He was asked point blank. Now, he was asked directly if he planned to be the head coach at Tennessee next season, and he didn't really give a direct answer to that question, choosing instead to say that he's owed it to his players and assistants and Tennessee's administration and fans to keep every bit of his focus on his current team. Here's a bit of this quote that I thought was interesting. He said, now I'll go back to the room, and anyone who knows me, it'll be bad. How much I'll critique myself, and it hurts. So I'm certainly not going to waste energy before a game or any other game having regrets that, you know, my mind wasn't right or we weren't prepared the right way to go into whatever game it might be. Now, Mike Bianco, the head coach at Ole Miss, has officially accepted and was offered a contract extension. That's one of the guys that LSU reportedly has spoken to that was going to be in the mix for the job. His name is off the table for LSU. So, reports are that two of the three coaches that LSU wants to talk to now at this point are Tony Vitello and Tim Corbin. And Tony Vitello is the topic of a lot of conversation, at least in Knoxville and in Nashville, as LSU continues its search. Here's the thing for me about LSU. I still don't think Tony Vitello is the next name on their list. Look at what Tony Vitello just did in his first appearance in Omaha. Yes, Tony Vitello's done a superb job building Tennessee back into a college baseball powerhouse, and I don't want to discount at all what he's done in Tennessee this season and in the seasons leading up to it, recruiting and putting together an on-the-field product that's been tremendous over the past two seasons. But Tony Vitello, let's face it, didn't manage the game correctly against Texas and went 0-2 in Omaha. Texas is a big enough program to demand someone who's been there and won at the highest level. Now, I don't think this person is Tim Corbin either. I think in his age, he's comfortable at Vanderbilt basically being the athletic director of his own program. I mean, Tim Corbin might as well be Vandy's next AD hire because he's running a mini athletic department that's just his own sport. It's only one sport that he has to run, but he's pretty much completely self-sufficient from anything else that's going on at Vanderbilt University. Why would Tim Corbin leave a completely perfect situation where he has all of the control, all of the power, all of the momentum to go try to build something from the ground up? Now, that being said, LSU is going to get somebody big. LSU is the blue blood college baseball program in the Southeastern Conference, and maybe that person is Tony Vitello. As we sit here today, I know Chris Lowe on 3HL said earlier that it was probably about a 75% chance that Tony Vitello stays at Tennessee. I don't think Danny White is going to let his most profitable coach, probably isn't the right word because baseball still doesn't make money at Tennessee, but his most successful coach, let's face it, in a sport with a lot of eyeballs right now at the University of Tennessee, his first act on the job when it comes to a possible revenue sport and making a coaching change, he's not letting that most important coach walk out of the door. And if he does, you heard Ben McKee say it on my UT podcast and here on The Zone Daily, it's not going to be a Danny White problem. This would be a Tennessee administration before Danny White problem. This would be more of a Philip Fulmer problem, let's face it, for neglecting baseball as long as the University of Tennessee has. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. I'm still of the belief that Tony Vitello has an extension with the University of Tennessee within a week of this podcast being recorded. Lots of things can happen. Things can change and really mold into a more troubling situation for Tennessee pretty quickly. But where we stand right now, I think Tennessee fans can feel pretty confident that Tony Vitello is staying in Knoxville. Okay, so let's shift gears just a bit as Vanderbilt, now they're in the loser's bracket, looking to stay alive after a tough 1-0 defeat to NC State on Monday night. I've got to admit, I was switching back and forth between the Bachelorette and Vanderbilt baseball on Monday night, something I never really thought I would do. Honestly, I don't know which of those is more surprising, the fact that I was watching a Vanderbilt baseball game. before the championship series or the Bachelorette. I kid. It's part of my job now to watch Vanderbilt baseball. The good news for Vandy, virtually every other pitcher not named Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiner is going to be available. Tim Corbin said after the loss to NC State, though, no one is the obvious choice right now. I'm not looking ahead. We've got a day to do that. So, really, Vanderbilt has two big options. Patrick Riley is the first one, a 4-2 record, a 4.89 earned run average, 52 strikeouts, and 42 and a third innings. You like that. Opponents are hitting just 192 against him, but he had a couple of really rough starts late in the season. Option number two, 3-1 record, 5.02 ERA, Christian Little. He hasn't pitched in 4 weeks, which for me is a big-time concern, but the positive of Christian Little possibly getting the ball tonight for Vanderbilt, his last outing was the best outing of his short career. He only gave up one run on three hits, a career-high 5 1/3 inning for Ole Miss to be knocked out briefly in the SEC tournament. That was to beat Ole Miss in the SEC tournament opener on May the 26th. Little has a 3-1 record, a 5.02 earned run average, 44 strikeouts, and 37 2/3, and 16 walks as well. Let's face it, though. Vanderbilt needs a little bit of Omaha magic in order to get its bats alive and stay alive in this tournament. And ninth-ranked Stanford is not going to be an easy out. They beat Arizona 14-5 on Monday to avoid elimination. Their Pac-12 rivals, they sent them packing. And this is one of the hottest teams in baseball. This top of the bracket has been wild so far. The Cardinal finished Monday's game against Arizona with 20 hits, a number that had not been reached by a team in the College World Series since it moved to TD Ameritrade Park from Rosenblatt in 2011. Five of the top seven right now in Stanford's batting order had three hits each in that win over Arizona. According to the NCAA's website, that had not occurred in Omaha for more than 30 years. This coming from Adam Sparks in the Tennessee. Just like Tennessee, Vanderbilt has to manage its bullpen pretty much perfectly and pick up lots of timely hitting. Stanford's hitting .284 as a team. They've got 84 home runs compared to its opponent's 47 against them. Brock Jones is the guy to remember if you're a Vandy fan. 17 home runs, 59 RBIs. 15 of those have come during the NCAA tournament. I don't like Vandy's chances. Let's face it. Either of those two pitchers, I think, is going to have a tough time with this Stanford team. We'll recap it all tomorrow and continue Vitello LSU Watch all week on the Zone Daily.